All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. We're recording in a new old space.
A new old space.
This used to be where we recorded, and then we moved, and now we're back.
Yeah. Just moved from a room to a room. So, you know, not a big change, but a change nonetheless.
We get a nice window to look out now.
Yes, it's very nice.
Although, there's not really anything pretty out this window, but...
No, not really.
The parking lot. I like to watch my neighbors from here sometimes.
They're pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty.
It's sad. Like, a lot of my really weird neighbors have moved out.
Yeah, whenever I lived here, we used to have some weird
neighbors. But they were, like, harmless but fun.
But, yeah, like, to kind of, like, staying up till 4 a.m. to sing Don't Stop Believing in the middle of the parking lot. Kind of.
But that was
weird.
Fun.
It was fun. We were like, whoa.
Now it's, like, kids.
Yeah.
It's like, ew.
Gross. Not interesting.
Ugh.
Boring.
Yeah, what? You think I care about your kids? I don't. Get out of here.
I only care about them when I'm backing out and I'm making sure I don't hit them.
And I have to be like, go. Do you see my car? Do you see my car? Move. Okay? Ugh. Have you seen that TikTok that it's like Gen Z becoming parents? And it's like, so what am I supposed to do with it now? Like, hang out with it? It can't even talk. This baby needs to be fed 3 times a day. It's the size of a Subway foot long. Why are you so hungry?
Why do you eat all the time?
Literally, it's like that. All the time. It's like, oh my god, he wasn't home alone. The dog was there. That's how I feel about children. I'm like, why do you need to eat so much? You're the size of a Subway foot long.
You have to learn how to do everything.
Oh my god, babies are so stupid.
I don't know how to do anything.
Literally, what can you do?
Nothing.
Babies. Ugh. Okay. Speaking of babies, we're doing Megamind.
Yeah, so the first scene is a baby scene.
Yeah, this is a baby movie.
It is a baby movie. So this movie came out 11 years ago.
And in 2010.
It is a star-studded cast.
Yeah.
Especially for a DreamWorks film, I'd say.
Yeah,
I mean, there are a lot of, like, because there's Shrek, which is Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I'd still say this is, like, bigger stars than that, though. Although, yeah. Isn't Cameron Diaz in...
Yeah, she is. She plays Fiona.
She was pretty famous. She was pretty famous when it was Shrek
time. Yeah, at the time. And then B-Movie, of course, has Jerry Seinfeld.
He's, like, the biggest comedian ever.
He's, like, literally the most... the richest.
He's the richest comedian ever.
Yeah, he is. Truly.
So, I mean, how much bigger does it get? And Renee Zellweger.
But he also, like, wrote it, so...
Yeah. He said, I'm gonna be the star. He was right. He was right to make that call.
It's a great movie. So this movie stars Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Jonah Hill, David Cross, and Brad Pitt.
Starring Brad Pitt is a loose term.
They were like, okay, Brad, you have to record 4 scenes.
And he went, all right. He got, like, 10 lines, literally.
I will do it, he said.
I mean, they're all iconic lines.
Yeah, he does a great job. He really puts his all into it.
But they are 10
And there's some
lines.
Interesting trivia on why he puts his all, and how he puts his all into
but
it.
But there's 10 lines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Memorable lines, but...
This is a really long plot synopsis.
Okay, yeah. I think this is going to be one of those Wikipedia articles that is very detailed and tenderly written by someone who really loves Megamind.
I know. So let's read it. Megamind and Metro Man are lifelong rivals in Metro City. Or if you were Megamind, you would call it Metrocity. But I love that about his character. That he can't pronounce words.
He can't pronounce anything.
So funny. Both are alien orphans sent to Earth from their dying planets, but are raised on Earth in far different circumstances.
This is a really interesting, like, nature versus nurture film, I'd
yes.
say.
Yes. Yeah. Like, so Metro Man, he falls into the house of, like, a super rich, loving couple.
Yes. And they're like, oh, a baby.
And Megamind falls into a prison with some super loving inmates.
Yeah, they love him. They love
they
him.
They do love him. They take good care of him, to be honest.
Truly.
Metro Man eventually becomes a superhero, defending the city from Megamind's villainous plans that he executes with the help of his henchman, Minion, a fish-like creature he was given by his mother, who lives and acts from inside a mechanical gorilla-like suit.
That's David Cross.
Yes, so funny.
So funny.
I love David Cross so much.
He's so good.
I can't not
well,
see him.
Well, excuse me.
I just can't not see him as Tobias.
Tobias.
Oh my god, so fun. He's like always that Tobias character too.
Yeah, he totally is. Except maybe in Alvin and the Chipmunks, where
I forgot he's in Alvin and the Chipmunks. We should do that movie sometime.
We should.
Anyway, Megamind once again escapes from prison through a holographic disguise, kidnaps Metro Man's girlfriend, news reporter Roxanne Ritchie, and lures Metro Man to a copper-lined observatory.
Well, Megamind does this thing where he has, like, this watch that can, like, capture people's, like, identification and their voices, and then he can make himself turn into that person.
Yes.
So that's how, like, that's, like, the science behind how he does that, and that's a huge plot point in the film.
Yeah, he uses it a lot. So, Metro Man collapses and then states that copper is his only weakness, which allows Megamind to kill him with a solar-powered death ray.
This is such a funny scene. I did it.
He did it. I did it.
He's so confused.
He's like, copper? That's your weakness? Megamind quickly takes over the city, but finds that with no one to challenge him, his villainous life has no meaning. Megamind prepares to destroy the recently opened Metro Man Museum, trying to forget the city's former hero.
He's wearing, like, footy pajamas.
He's, like, so upset that Metro Man is not here anymore. He has to destroy the museum because it's such a painful memory.
Oh, and we haven't mentioned this yet, but the soundtrack to this movie must have cost so much
money. I mean, the amount of AC/DC that they paid for.
I know. AC/DC, Guns N' Roses. The amount of AC/DC they bought for this film.
I bet we can find the Megamind soundtrack. Let's just go through it.
Okay.
It starts with...
Giant blue head.
That's nothing. Bad to the Bone is the first, real one.
Hans Zimmer did the instrumental stuff.
Yes. Then it's Loving You. Oh, my gosh.
Alone Again.
There's more. There's more than this.
Naturally. Anyway, that's the song that's playing whenever he's walking around missing Metro Man. That's very funny.
Yes, there's a lot of
But they do Highway to Hell, Bad to the Bone.
Yeah. They do Highway to Hell. Where is that? It's not even on here. Okay, here it is. Other songs using it. Miss America, Back in Black, Highway to Hell, Crazy Train, Mr. Blue Sky, Welcome to the Jungle, Bad, and Come As You Are for a second. So, anyway, he goes to destroy the museum, but when he sees Roxanne wandering inside, he takes on the holographic disguise of Bernard, the museum's curator.
Voiced by Ben Stiller.
Yes. Temporarily dehydrating the real Bernard into a small cube. I like the real Bernard. I think this is very funny. Bernard is like, are you a fan of Megamind?
Yeah, he's like an expert.
Because he's like...
Megamind is way more handsome.
Yeah, he's like, you have grossly over-exaggerated the size of Megamind's head. And he's like, that costume's a little distasteful, don't you think? Megamind doesn't look anything like that. And you're like, what? That's not what's distasteful about it, Bernard. But sadly, we don't really get to know Bernard too much because he's turned into a dehydrated cube.
Yeah.
Megamind finds himself attracted to Roxanne and from her gets the idea of creating a new hero to fight. In his lab, he creates a serum from Metro Man's DNA to give his target superhero powers, but it is accidentally injected via his diffuser gun into Hal Stewart, Roxanne's dim-witted cameraman.
An incel.
Yeah, and he's played by Jonah Hill. When she enters the lab. Megamind finds Hal is easily coerced, and using a hologram of Space Dad, trains him to become a superhero.
My beautiful boy.
Yeah, Space Dad is like a godfather type.
Very funny. He does the voice.
Hal takes the name Titan.
I'm your space stepmom.
Misunderstanding, Megamind suggested Titan.
Yeah, so he takes the name T-I-G-H-T-E-N instead of T-I-T-A-N.
Mm-hmm. So.
So dumb.
Meanwhile, Megamind continues to see Roxanne using the Bernard disguise, and the two begin to fall for each other. Feeling Hal is ready, Megamind schedules a day for the two to fight.
A date for the two to fight?
Yeah. This is weird. It's like, oh, is that what they do?
He's very strange.
However, on the night before, Megamind has a falling out with Minion, while Hal sees that Roxanne has no feelings for him as she prepares for a date with Bernard, leaving him dejected. So, this is a terrifying scene.
Yeah, oh my god. Basically, Hal is so scary.
Hal basically comes and sees Roxanne, and he's kind of like harassing her, and she doesn't know who he is.
But he's always harassed her as Hal, but
you know, not like this.
Yeah, he hasn't been intimidating
before. And he picks her up and, like, is tossing her around. And he's like, oh, I have to save you before I romance you. So he just continually drops her mm-hmm. and then, like, catches her and is like, oh, I saved you. And yeah. it's like,
well, like, you owe me now.
Yeah, and so then he takes her up to the top of the Empire State Building, which is not the Empire State Building, because it doesn't exist.
Metro City's equivalent.
Yes. And basically puts her up there and is, like, talking to her. And he reveals who he is.
Yeah, he's like, she's like, who are you? And then he, like, reveals who he is, and she's like, Hal, I'm not going to be into you no matter what you look like.
Yeah, she's like, Hal, the powers weren't, like, the problem.
Yeah, it's not, the problem wasn't that you were, like, you know, short and chubby. The problem is that you're not nice.
The problem is I'm not attracted to you.
Yeah.
And so he gets really upset, and then he basically lets her go. And she goes on a date with Bernard after that, and he sees it. Because mm-hmm. he's following her like a creep.
Like a creep.
So...
I like to watch you like a dingo watches a human baby.
Which is a very funny reference.
Yes, it is. A dingo ate my baby.
Baby. A dingo did eat her baby.
A dingo did eat her baby.
That's true. I can't believe. She went to jail for that.
Yeah.
I mean, for a minute.
A dingo did eat her baby.
A dingo totally. She was correct.
Yeah.
I mean, still, like, not great parenting to let a dingo eat your baby, but, like, certainly not the same as murdering your baby.
Yeah, neglect is not the same as murdering your baby.
So, anyway, he gets mad. So, while on a date with Bernard, Megamind's disguise falters, and Roxanne storms out of the restaurant. Meanwhile, Megamind rushes after her in the rain, and Roxanne realizes he has feelings for her.
This is a sad scene.
Yeah. Furious at his trickery, she harshly rejects him and walks away, causing Megamind to also misplace his invisible car and the diffuser gun.
But she looks back.
She looks back. I know.
She really likes him. It's really sad.
I know.
She, like,
well, she's pissed. It's like, look, you're a villain.
Yeah, he's been a villain, but I mean, look, obviously she likes his personality.
The worst one ever.
Yeah.
It's like not the same thing, like, oh my god, you've committed genocide. It's like, well, you didn't, because you suck at everything
you
do.
Yeah, you kind of just do property damage a lot.
But, like, you've done so much property damage! Ah! So, anyway, the next day, Titan fails to appear. Megamind seeks him out. He learns, to his horror, that Titan has become a villain instead, having gone on a crime spree the previous night after Roxanne rejected him, revealing that he had only become a hero to woo Roxanne. Titan suggests an allegiance with Megamind, but the latter instead goads him into fighting, revealing all of his disguises and manipulations, which infuriates Titan. And eventually, realizing he is now fighting for his life, Megamind traps Titan in a ball of copper, but it fails to do anything, much to his shock.
Yeah, Megamind's really surprised, because usually whenever he has been fighting with Metro Man, like, it's all fun and, like, no one really gets
hurt.
Well,
it's like you, yeah, you defeat them and then you go, like, now get out of here.
Yeah, like, kick him in the butt out of town or something, not, like, killing him.
Yeah, and Titan's like,
I'm gonna kill you.
No, you're dead?
Yeah.
Buddy?
I'm not Metro Man.
Yeah.
I'm not just gonna let you go.
Titan's actually evil.
Yeah.
But the copper doesn't do anything. So, Megamind manages to escape, and Titan begins terrorizing the city. Megamind finds Roxanne and asks her to take him to Metro Man's secret lair, where they find Metro Man alive. Metro Man explains that he feigned his death and his weakness to copper, as he wanted to retire and take up music, having been forced into the superhero business at a young age. He refuses to help, but reminds Megamind a hero will always emerge to challenge evil. Feeling responsible, Megamind turns himself into the authorities and is imprisoned, while Roxanne tries to appeal to Titan directly, but instead ends up captured and tied to the top of Network Tower of Metro City. Titan challenges Megamind to a fight, threatening Roxanne. Megamind appeals to the warden to let him go, and is surprised to see that the warden was actually Minion in disguise. Not the whole time, just once.
Yeah, the whole time.
Wasn't always Minion. Megamind and Minion use holographic disguises to trick Titan into believing that Metro Man is back. But Titan sees through it based on Megamind's odd pronunciation patterns.
Yeah, so you think that, like, Metro Man is back because he's starting to fight Titan, but then he calls Metro City Metrocity.
And Titan figures it out.
Figures it out, because the only one who calls Metro City Metrocity is Megamind.
Yep. Titan attacks Megamind, and during the fight, he finds his invisible car. He recovers the diffuser gun and shoots Titan with it, reverting him to his human form. Hal is arrested for his crimes while Megamind is treated as a hero by the city and begins a romantic relationship with Roxanne. In disguise in the crowd, Metro Man congratulates his former foe as he opens the new Megamind Museum. In a mid-credits scene, the original Bernard is rehydrated while Minion is doing the laundry. When Bernard complains that this has been the worst day of his entire life, Minion knocks him out with the forget-me stick, which was used on Hal earlier in the movie, to help him forget the misery he's been in. Yeah, it's just a nightstick. There you go.
There you go.
That's it.
That's it. That's the movie. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean,
I had really fond memories of this movie, and I was curious to see whether it held up, and it, for the most part, did.
Yeah.
There's
like one weird joke that's like questionable.
That's kind of racist.
It's not like, you can tell that it's like not intended to be racist, but you're like just like,
2010, like.
It's just like, don't do that.
Like, that's not okay.
It's like, you can't be mad at them, because there's no way they knew.
It's 2010.
But it didn't age good.
Did not age well, no. We were like, ooh, yeah. Not like that.
But that's pretty much it.
The budget was $130 million, and it made $321.9 million.
Yeah, I mean,
it did good.
It's a good movie.
It is.
It's not like. It's not DreamWorks' best.
No, certainly not.
Nothing is as good as Shrek.
That's true. Shrek is just DreamWorks' crown jewel.
I wouldn't even say this is as good as the Bee Movie.
I think the Bee Movie's up there with Shrek for me.
I agree.
I think it's hilarious.
It's not. This is not up there with that.
No.
This is a good movie. This is like the monsters versus alien time. Yeah. When it's like DreamWorks was coming out with some very weird shit.
Strange stuff.
But they weren't, like, in Disney's weird period, which was, like, good.
Yeah.
They were in, like, their weird period, which is, like, bad. Yeah. Because they're already kind of weird.
I want to see some of the...
This is interesting. A lot of... You know, like, a lot of Disney's...
Oh, there's...
Disney's weird stuff, like Lilo and Stitch and
yeah.
Atlantis, all that kind of area. The reason DreamWorks became, like, so famous directly after that era is because a lot of animators and story writers that were working for Disney who made all those movies ended up quitting because they didn't want to write, like, princess stuff.
Yeah, that's why Don Bluth quit.
Yes, so they all basically quit and went to other studios. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of the people that worked on, like, Lilo and Stitch and all this other stuff, they are the people that worked on, like, Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, interesting to see, like, you can tell what writers are, yeah, like, working for sure. At what studios at what time.
For sure. So other movies that more like this, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was one.
That was a good one.
Monsters vs. Aliens, Bolt.
Bolt was not great.
Rio, Hotel Transylvania.
Also not great.
Over the Hedge, Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda is great.
It is. Despicable Me was fun. The first one.
The first one's good.
Flushed Away, which I don't like very much. Kung Fu Panda is really good.
Kung Fu Panda is great. Jack Black, starring role.
Really funny. Really funny.
So good.
Yeah. Skidoo. So this is a really...
Skadoosh.
Classic.
Hilarious.
That's a great cast, too.
It does. And everyone does a really good job.
And Jack Black is just born to be entertaining in anything.
Anything
I see him, I'm like, wow, he's just... like
can't A take star. His, can't A take, star.
You can't take your eyes off of him.
No, because he's so magnetized.
He is, like, charismatic.
Yeah. Something about him.
Will Ferrell doesn't even sound like himself in this.
No, it's really interesting because you can tell it's Will Ferrell, but, like, if you didn't know it was Will Ferrell, you wouldn't think
it was Will Ferrell. Like, once you know, you're obviously, oh, that's Will Ferrell. But, like, if you didn't know, I don't think I could have told. Let's see. Okay, so I really like the incel villain in this
Me movie. Too.
I think that it's good to show kids that you shouldn't act like this.
We should have more incel villains, in my opinion.
Yeah, so this guy's very like Elliot Rodger, right? So he's like, I'm such a nice guy. Why won't you sleep with me? I'm such a nice guy.
I just like you. I'm such a nice guy. And you're like, you're creepy.
You're scary. Trying to pressure people into having sex with you.
Yeah, nobody likes you, Hal. Because of you. You have no goals. You're not good at anything. Like, what do you like, even?
And he's just very weird with Roxanne. And, like, he keeps asking her out and she keeps saying no.
And yet he keeps... Like, okay, this is a perfect example, too. The day after Metro Man dies...
And everyone thinks that they're dating.
They're not really dating.
But everyone thinks that because she's, like, the damsel in distress or whatever.
Yes, and she's constantly like, kidnapped. Yeah, they think basically her and Metro Man have like a little whatever. They understand my cat is scratching at his scratcher, so you are going to hear that. But the day after everyone thinks that they've been dating, Metro Man is like dead. Hal asks her out and she's like, no, I don't want to be around people right now. And he gets like upset and I'm like, for all intents and purposes, you think her boyfriend just died? Yes, like today.
Mm-hmm. Like, who do you think you are?
Like, and you're mad that she doesn't want to date you? Her boyfriend just died. I mean, he didn't, but like, he did.
You think he did?
Yeah.
It's so weird. He's so creepy.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to have like incels as villains.
Yeah. Plus, they're very compelling villains. It's very scary for women.
It is very scary, especially the scene where he's like drops her.
I know.
That's scary.
I know. Ooh, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
And when he's like, hold on. I did all this for you, and you don't. And she's like,
I didn't ask you to do anything.
And she's like trying to warn him about stuff and he won't listen. She's like actually trying to be a friend to him and he doesn't want to be her friend, of course. Duh. Yeah. That's not what he wants from her. Ew.
It's gross. It's gross and creepy and weird.
Jonah Hill does a great job.
He does. He's really good.
Ew.
Elliot,
you're being so bad.
Your cat's being really, really bad right now.
What are you doing? I want to take a pic. I'll take a pic for our gram that we literally never post on. Oh my goodness.
Ellie,
what are you doing? Half of our podcast is going to be this now that we've moved out here. Elliot, you're being so bad. Stop. No.
Elliot, no.
Don't.
Stop it.
Don't jump on the tech shelf.
I have a little bit of trivia.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, this is some interesting stuff about Brad Pitt and his very few lines. Instead of voicing his character from within a sound booth, Brad Pitt, who was a very active actor, insisted on using a handheld microphone for his performance and roaming around the studio.
And they said, okay, well, you can only have 10 lines because that's going to be an absolute fucking nightmare to...
Also, we can't afford you.
Yeah.
A whole crew of animators were dedicated solely to the movement of capes.
Oh, that's smart.
Isn't that really smart? This was originally pitched as a live-action film. Glad it wasn't.
Oh my god, can you imagine live-action Megamind? Actually, I can. Let's look right here.
Yep, there it is. It's Will Ferrell as Megamind.
It's hideous.
It is. It's horrible. The film's plot was based on the premise, what if Lex Luthor defeated Superman? When Megamind is channel surfing towards the end of the movie, he comes upon a news report of a squirrel water skiing. Ferrell had played Ron Burgundy in Anchorman, in which Burgundy does report on a water skiing squirrel. Metro Man's appearance and costume was based on Elvis Presley, obviously. To promote the film, Will Ferrell assembled 1,580 of his friends and their acquaintances at a superhero costume function. This party set a Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of superheroes.
Are you joking?
No.
That's so many people.
Yeah. After Megamind has taken over the town, his large No You Can't posters are a reference to President Barack Obama's 2008 campaign poster.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Yeah, he has like the same, like... Obama poster, but it says no you can't.
But it says no you can't.
That's funny. Megamind's dehydration gun also bears the commands decompress, debilitate, demoralize, decoupage, deregulate, death ray, and destroy.
Anything with a D.
Yeah. Guillermo del Toro was hired as a creative consultant 3 weeks before the film completed production. He majorly assisted in editing the film to make it more exciting.
Oh, good job.
Yes.
Elliot? Ah!
You're so bad.
What are you doing?
David Cross was based in London during production. While this performance was not literally phoned in, it was recorded remotely and transmitted back to the producer.
Good job, buddy. Thanks, bub.
Little baby. Whoa. When Megamind transforms into different forms, his voice changes to match the character. However, when Megamind transforms into Bernard, his voice remains that of Megamind's. This is explained through as we see the watch recording the warden's voice during Megamind's escape from prison, he didn't get the chance to record Bernard's voice in the rush to replace him in the museum and had to use his own voice. Let's see. Megamind mispronounces words 20 times throughout the film.
Yeah, he is not very good at word pronunciation.
Metro City is located in Michigan. This can be clearly seen in a shot where Megamind's satellite is in orbit around the Earth.
What? How would you tell that?
I don't know. Someone.
Well, I guess when they zoom out, maybe to be like, oh, we're up in the sky. And you're like, oh, it's Michigan.
It's clear through watching the movie that Megamind's crimes usually involve property damage and robbery more than violence. Megamind seems to choose unoccupied areas to cause his mayhem, i.e. abandoned observatory, which shows that he's somewhat uncomfortable with the idea of actually killing anyone.
Yeah, I think he is.
I don't think he wants to kill anyone because he seems really weirded out whenever Metro Man dies.
Yeah, he's like, what?
He's like, what? I did it? What do you mean I did it?
Elliot, oh my god. This cat goes limp in your arms and then buries his face in the crook of your elbow and you're like, can you even breathe in there?
What a baby. Both Megamind and Metro Man arrived on Earth in the year 1991.
They're older than us. They're by old. Only a few years.
I know, that's what I'm... That's
that means
I'm...
in the movie... What?
But they're aliens.
So I guess they age fast?
I guess. Doesn't make much sense.
What does that mean for him and Roxanne's relationship? Because if they came in 1991, that means they're only 7 years older than us, which means they're like, they'd be like 30 now.
Yeah.
So what are they, like 15 when this is happening?
Yeah.
But Hal's clearly like...
How old were they when they... I guess, no, because that was his first day alive, right? I don't even know.
Well, that's true. How
what is the age?
They could have been like... I think he says he's two whenever they throw... Whenever he goes to... I think they say he's two. Right? Whenever...
Yeah. He's 8 days old.
Oh. Okay, so he's literally
a newborn. Oh, I know. He's sent to Earth when he's 8 days old.
Okay, so he's literally a newborn.
Roxanna's 30.
Which means Megamind's what, 16? If this happens in real time, why would they say that?
No one is, I don't know, but there's nowhere that says how old Megamind is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we're getting in some hot water.
Roxanne's a pedophile. Uh-oh, we uncovered some dark secrets about Megamind.
To be fair, though, he does have a goatee, and that is very confusing.
I mean, maybe on Roxanne's part, but, well, I mean, here's what we're hearing.
Yeah.
That Megamind's like 16 at most. And
he might age faster physically.
But
does he age faster cognitively?
Does this argument even, I think the point is Megamind and Roxanne, we can't want them together anymore.
Yeah, I think that it's ruined.
Wow. They should really have just made that date earlier.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s. Well, let's move on from that. Let's go to some trivia. What would you give this movie, Jane?
I already did trivia.
Not trivia. Reviews.
I give this movie a 7 out of 10.
That's probably what I'd give it to. Not the best DreamWorks film, but certainly a fun film.
Certainly not the worst.
Don't think it's going to age the best. Mainly because of like all the references. Like, I know those references.
Yeah, for sure.
But like...
I don't know if
people... I was the target demographic when this came out.
Yes.
I mean, I was a little above the target demographic, but I wasn't that much.
It's funny. It's a funny movie. There's some good jokes. Yeah. And I think the voice actors are really good.
The voice actors are great. The plot's fine.
Original.
It's original. It plugs along, chugs along.
I love the villain.
Yeah, love the villain. He's one of the most memorable parts. I wouldn't say freed. More like under new management. All right. So let's talk about this one.
Oh my gosh, this is a long... Oh no, Allison, this is like...
Yeah, it's long.
This is so long.
Yeah. It's long. First one I really liked, it was just like 1 out of 10, not a good movie for girls, and then it just didn't say anything else.
Oh.
But I was like, I like that one, but not enough.
Not enough, though.
Here we go. 5 out of 10. Will Ferrell turns his Mugatu voice... into more undeserved money.
What does that even mean? I have to look that up. One second.
Oh, I can't even search it.
Mugatu. Oh. It's a Zoolander character.
Oh, okay. Megamind deals with a pair of archenemies that have been pitted against each other since birth. Megamind, Feral, is blue and wiry with a water dispenser for a head and a little goatee. He's going to bite your hand. Oh, sorry, my cat, not Megamind. Stop, you sat on my lap. Don't bite me!
He's being really bad.
Okay, bite the chair. I'm just going to not touch you. Okay, buddy, I don't know what you want. You came up here yourself. Ow! Okay, whatever. Just do. You might hear me say "ow" a couple times. Metro Man Brad Pitt is your muscular Dorito-shaped all-American type, brave, handsome, and well-spoken, and willing to do anything to maintain the peace and safety in the city of Metro City. In their respective youths, they were each forced into different pathways. Metro Man found a more privileged and loving upbringing, and Megamind unfortunately found himself in a different, less favorable surrounding, that of prison since toddlerhood. After a decade or so of being rivals with Metro Man and failing, Megamind decided that rather than growing up an outcast, he should embrace his circumstances and go all out as a bad boy. Makes sense, I guess. In this vein, Megamind has unavoidable similarities to the recently released Despicable Me.
This is all in parentheses.
This is a fucking paragraph, though. Both featured wannabe supervillains planning global conquests and, oddly enough, both having sidekicks named Minion. Whoa. In this film, Minion is a talking fish. Well, yeah, Minion isn't a word that Despicable Me made up. Yeah. A minion is like a goon.
It's a goon.
He's a goon. If I named my goon, that doesn't mean I came up with the word goon.
Yeah. You're just naming it after what it is.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, it's a little weird that they had the minions and now you have minion, but also minion is a word already.
Yeah, like, the thing is, the minions are their minions.
Yes.
They're just calling them minions.
Minion, yeah.
So it's not...
They're just cutting out the part of naming them.
Yeah, they're just trying to, you know, I guess, depersonalize them.
I guess. But then you put David Cross in there and it's like, damn, he's so charming.
He's so charming. I love him.
In this film, Minion is a talking fish who drives an invisible car and uses an automated body to get around. Giving my opening statement, it should surprise no one that I like Despicable Me more.
Is this a Despicable Me stan?
And just this is a 40-year-old woman on Facebook who loves Minion memes.
Yes. Yes! Oh my gosh.
And given the option, would pick that DVD up every time in the future. On and on for years, the two battle. Megamind, hell-bent on implementing his various nefarious...
No! I hate this person!
Why would you... Oh my god.
Let's just, various
his,
nefarious.
Hold on, it gives more. Implementing his various nefarious, but this is PG, so not so scariest.
So nasty.
They wrote that.
Someone thought about it in 2011 and were like, oh, this is called One Guy Rambling is who this is. Oh
shit, this is good. It's PG though, so not so scariest. Plans and Metro Man forever there to foil them. A frequent bargaining chip in such battles is cute and spunky young TV reporter. Not so young, she's 30.
yeah, I'm not really young. And I mean, Megamind is 16, so.
So let's like not forget that. and presumed love interest of Metro Man, Roxanne. Something that infuriates her young cameraman, Hal. Jonah Hill, playing a cartoon character that looks surprisingly like Jonah Hill.
I think Jonah Hill's far more attractive than Hal.
This is also, like,
Jonah
Hill at his worst looking,
this is,
probably.
Like, super bad Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Not like now Jonah Hill, who is, like...
Actually kind of hot. Not like that. What do you want, Elliot? Do you just want to bite me? Megamind, buddy... Okay, no, you want pets now. Megamind and Hal similarly resent Metro Man. Megamind as he continually thwarts his plan for global domination, and Hal as he presumably thwarts Hal's plans for Roxanne domination.
Yeah, I hate this. This is so gross.
This is so funny. At the conclusion of one of many good versus evil battles, evil finally triumphs to the surprise and shock of everyone, not least of which is Megamind himself.
That's a really funny. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Me too. Who would you believe?
Who would you believe?
After the briefest of possible "Yay, we won!" montages featuring both the villains, bystanders, and innocent civilians reacting to this unexpected development, Megamind rapidly comes to the conclusion that getting exactly what you want all the time is no fun. Apparently. Sounds pretty good to me. Well, then, you didn't really get the point of the movie.
Well, you didn't really get the lesson, did you?
I'm sorry, but do you remember that Pussycat's Doll song where it was like, be careful what you want more, you just might get it. It's like, did you even listen to that song? That was around.
Like, did you even listen to that? This was 2011.
You wrote this in 2011. I'm assuming you heard the song. You were on IMDb in 2011. I'm assuming you've heard the song. Both of which, he was like, doesn't sound right to me. I don't get the point. It's like Pinocchio. That's what Pinocchio's about. How many movies have been about this exact thing? Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish for.
Or you just might get it.
Home Alone.
Everything. Everything.
Everything.
Have we not learned? This guy's like, no, I like Despicable Me. Because in that, he doesn't wish for anything that he gets.
Yeah.
He gets what he doesn't want. Love.
He finds what he needs where he never thought he'd look.
Yeah.
That's like, see, there's like two different, like...
There's two different plots in all of cinema. And one of them is be careful what you wish for. And the other one is you never know what you have until you got it.
Yeah.
None of that is right. So anyway. Anyway, sounds good to him. It seems that without his archival and nemesis Metroman, arch-rival. I said archival. It says, without his arch-rival and nemesis Metroman, that being the undisputed ruler of all he surveys has lost a bit of fizz. Just jump off. Okay. Without the yin to his yang, his you complete me, his you have me at hello. Okay, I went a bit far, but you get the picture. Mega Man likes a sense of purpose. Aww.
This person is unhinged.
I love this guy. With this in Mega Mind.
Mega in parentheses.
A plot is devised to simply create a new nemesis from scratch so that Mega Mind can have someone to co-battle against. To exact his new diabolical scheme, Mega Mind must through necessity don various disguises to move undetected through Metrocity. It is while in Mufti, that he runs into both Roxanne and Hal separately. Due to Megamind's not being 7 foot tall and blue, they know they are none the wiser at who they are conversing with. As they interact, they get to know each other better, past biases and hatreds are forgotten, and friendships are unwittingly forged. She's talking about Bernard. Of course, this is a movie. Of course, as this is a movie, Megamind's carefully laid plans are always doomed to inevitably backfire, leading to further conflict and unexpected developments that amaze and astound us all, but not really. I can't go further without flubbing what little plot exists. Suffice it to say that it was reasonably straightforward and that the twists were seen coming from a mile away. The voice acting was, as mentioned, simply horribly lazy. Farrell was the only one who even had a crack at creating a different voice for the role, only as it was from one of his limited repertoire as it grew annoyingly swift.
So you think everyone should just do a voice whenever they're voicing, like, normal characters?
Always. That's not why we hired you or anything, because we like the voice that you have.
So you just speak naturally, you know, that's...
Yeah, you know what I'm pissed about? H. John Benjamin. Archer and Bob, same voice. Confusing much, right? I can't even tell the difference between the two shows because I can't see, nor can I put context to words. So for me, it's all about the voices, and I can't even tell.
See, when I'm watching this, I can't tell the difference between this and 30 Rock because Tina Fey's voice is in both of them.
Yeah, and I can't watch things. I can't look at the animation or think about the plot. Nope. So you better do a different voice. You know?
See, I can't separate.
We need
voices.
Every single person needs to become a voice actor so that they can all do one role a piece.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are unfortunately already done because we do this podcast.
Yes.
And if he were to ever listen to it, it would become wildly confusing as to which one is which. So pop culture references and catchy songs frame the more memorable or hooky scenes. And precious little of the remainder was either memorable or amusing. I normally find at least one character, even in the most lazy animated features, to like. In the pointless and plain bad Monster vs. Aliens, it was Bob. In Despicable Me, it was the Minions.
They're not characters! They don't talk! What are you talking about, your favorite characters? They're not even characters!
Banana.
They just say things!
Banana.
They're there for babies!
Banana. Yeah, you. I'm
ba,
sorry.
Ba, 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 na, na, na.
I'm sorry. You don't like Gru.
He's funny.
Gru's funny. Goral.
My favorite little goral.
These are my little gorals.
That's funny.
That's funny. But here, I found nothing and no one. You didn't like a single character in this. I have finding that hard to believe.
I find it really hard to believe that you didn't like Minion. If you like the Minions in Despicable
Me. No, unfortunately,
Me.
If I think of Minions, I can only think I can only think banana.
See, I look at this fish, and all I'm seeing is the little yellow guys.
All I'm seeing, and yeah, he's talking with words. That's not what Minions do. That's not what Minions do.
No, Minions, they have their own language.
Minions go bah, 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 bah. Minions talk like how I fake talk on stage. Bah, 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 bah. like, you know, hello, when he's like, I'm not as good at quiet conversation as he is. And he's like, it's okay, you'll be fine. And he goes, okay, ba 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 ba. The shame here is that because Megamind and Despicable Me are so similar.
What are you talking about? They're not similar at all, other than they deal with villains.
That's similar enough for me. We're released so close together that comparisons are inevitable. It means that we must unavoidably play the two films against each other, and scrutiny basically shows just how derivative and unnecessary both films are. Okay, let me pause you right there. You've been defending Despicable Me this entire
you've been
review.
Talking about how much you like the Minions this entire
review. And now you're coming out with they're both unnecessary?
See, you are contradicting yourself, sir.
Like, let's be real. We all know you're a Despicable Me stan. We all know you're here because you're trying to pit Despicable Me. You're saying it's inevitable to depict.
You're the only one who's doing it.
Nobody else in these reviews is pitting Despicable Me against this, except for the guy in the very next review.
Oh no, we're gonna read that one too.
The very next review does that also.
Okay, we're gonna have to read that one.
But you are the only one. You're the one trying to. You're the one starting this fight. I honestly believe that this might be one of your bot accounts.
Honestly,
you know what I mean? You might be trolling the Megamind IMDb.
Yeah.
In defense of the Despicable Me IMDb.
Yeah, I think that's my.
They can exist together in the world. They have for 11 years now.
And you know, we haven't crumbled society yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're on our way, and maybe this was the inciting
maybe
incident.
Maybe this was the inciting incident. You know, 11 years ago, maybe this is what made Trump think I need to run for president.
I don't know. We should ask Brad Pitt.
We should. We really should. We should write him a letter.
So anyway, this is his final rating. Final rating is 5.5 out of 10.
Well,
animated comedies featuring big name stars. Welcome to the successor of the B-horror film. What?
What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense.
B-horror films still exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're lazy, boring, or just plain bad. Until people stop going to every single one in mindless droves, the quality will inevitably get worse and worse, leading to films like this. And what is it with the everyone dances over the credits thing? Is it bad or just... It isn't bad, just reeks of same. Which, I think that was weird. That was a very mid-2000s
thing. Yeah, but that
just
happened in the 2010s.
Yeah, everyone liked to dance over credits. I don't know what you want.
They loved it.
Not sure what B-horror films have to do with any
of
this.
Yeah, I don't know why you're calling them out. I didn't do anything.
This is the next guy. Oh, it's they short. All... Okay, all of the 5 out of 10s compare... At least 3 of them.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
I didn't even get the Despicable Me, like...
And I've seen Despicable
Me. I've seen Despicable Me. Yes.
Okay? How else would I know what the Minions sound like?
True.
This guy just has another animated movie on the lines of Monster vs. Aliens, Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs, Bolt, and Despicable Me, which are colorful but not funny
See,
at all.
See, I think what they did is, like, look at the films like this.
Which is what we just did.
So I'm pretty sure that's what they just did.
I think so, too. And this basically just says exactly what the title just said. Mm-hmm. And this one says, old cliche wrapped in a new layer, funny, lovely villains turning out to be good after Despicable Me. They said after Igor and Despicable Me, this is the third one in the series. I don't know. This just sounds like something that's already existed to me. You know what I mean? It's like, villains turning good has been something that's happened forever.
Oh, yeah.
Let's look at movies where villains turn good. Oh, look
Christmas
at that.
Carol.
A Christmas Carol. The first.
Charles Dickens.
That's 1800s, baby. I'll allow the ads. Yep. I'll allow the ads. Oh, my God. Okay. Darth Vader. Okay.
Terminator.
Grinch.
Mean Girls.
Regina George. Miranda Priestley. Snape.
Well, I mean, I think that...
Anton Ego. Helen Bridesmaids. There's so many. Come on. Okay, some of these are, like, not really villains, but, you know.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Tale as old as time, baby.
It really is. Speaking of which, Beauty and the Beast.
Despicable Me didn't start this.
No. It just came out around the same time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you were bad about the DreamWorks Monsters craze or something. I don't know.
Just can't handle it.
Oh, well. Some people will be worse off, I guess, than others.
Yeah, 7 out of 10, I'd say. But I do not agree with the reasoning behind them giving it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, and also, what was the good part? You gave it half the score. What was the good part?
You didn't even mention the good part. Why did you give it those 5 points?
Because it was a good movie. I mean, it was a good movie.
Yeah, but why did you...
It just wasn't as good as Despicable Me.
Well, it's not Despicable Me.
Which I loved a lot more. I think their minions are far superior to this minion. The singular minion. Doesn't even make sense. Why did he call them brain bots? Why didn't he call them minion robots? Stupid. It's
dumb.
This is what I think people would be like if they were in like a Hollywood script writing session.
Yes.
Why would you call it that? What? Minion's a word. Despicable Me just did that. You're like...
Ugh. That was our production company.
Yeah. We're the same company. Ugh.
We're doing this very little known movie that we just kind of came across on TikTok. If you guys are true crime fans, you might know the story of Sylvia Likens.
If you're a true crime fan and you don't know the story of Sylvia Likens, you better hop on it because it's one of the craziest true crime stories literally ever.
Literally ever. So go Wikipedia that and read about that case there. And there are obviously a ton of true crime podcasts that do it. Crime Junkie did one a while ago.
But there, I think there might even be a whole podcast just dedicated to Sylvia Likens.
But yeah, if you want a quick listen, Crime Junkie has an episode over it. It's very sad. Elliot Page stars in it, and he looks like a little
We're doing a movie. It's not called Crime Junkie.
Yeah,
we're
doing a movie
about Sylvia Likens. It's called...
An American Crime.
Yes. Which is not the Ryan Murphy show.
No.
An American Crime Story.
Yeah. Crime is on Peacock.
Yes. Which is free.
It's free, and it's very intense.
Yes, and we're going to be
star-studded. There's a little baby Evan Peters with a double chin in it, which is wild.
Fun. Evan Peters was in that movie Sleepover. Remember that?
Oh my god, I do remember that with Steve Carell.
Yep.
Yeah.
As Paul Blart, basically. Yes. Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to do Ma, which is the stalker film starring Octavia Spencer.
Which we have been wanting to watch forever.
And it just came out on HBO Max, so we're going to watch that. And we love a good stalker movie.
Yeah, we do. All right, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye.